your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a very familiar passage. Psalm 23, and we're going to go ahead and read all six verses of Psalm 23. We will read responsively. I'll read, and then you read, and so on. Psalm 23, and let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 23, we'll read responsively. I'll read, and then you read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the precious, dear Word of God, Lord, for the preserved, inspired Word of God. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for this time that I get to get up and preach to my people here today, God. And Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you desperately today just to fall upon my mind, upon my heart. Pray, God, that you'd speak through me, and I pray, God, that you touch hearts. Encourage those this morning who might need some encouragement. Lift up those who may have fallen. Lord, I pray, dear God, that your will be done in every case. So we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message is the first words of this chapter, The Lord is my Shepherd. It seems though lately, probably the last few months or so, I have fled to these verses, and oftentimes we all flee to these scriptures for comfort. You go to almost any funeral, it doesn't matter what denomination it may be, you'll generally hear this 23rd Psalm preached or read through, if you will, and it is a psalm of comfort, and I hope that you will receive some comfort this morning. I hope that you will receive the leadership that the Good Shepherd wants to go ahead and give you. You see, we oftentimes, you know, again, the title is The Lord is My Shepherd. Oftentimes, when we go ahead and we fail to allow God lead, now the shepherd's the leader, amen? And when we fail to let the Good Shepherd lead us, that's when we fall into trouble. That's when we kind of get out of whack or kind of get out of sorts, if you will, and then we leave the will of God. Repercussions, if you will, to leaving the will of God. But you know what? When you follow the shepherd, when you go ahead and you follow him, we're going to talk about the benefits of following the good shepherd in just a little while. But when you follow him, you know that you're going to be safe, and you know that you're going to be every step of the way in his perfect will. Let me just say this. You know, the most wonderful place to be is in the perfect will of God. The most safest place to be is in the perfect will of God. Right smack dab where God wants you. That is perfect. That is safe. That is what God wants you to be. But how often we rebel? How often we may go ahead and kind of push God away? And generally when that happens, when he goes ahead and lays on our heart maybe to do something, or lays on our heart to step up in the Christian life, whatever the case may be, say, God, no. When he lays on our heart to maybe put away something that ought not be there, some besetting sin, something that shouldn't be there, the Holy Spirit, that good shepherd, he's trying to lead you, he's trying to guide you. But what we do is we go ahead and say, no, God, no, God, I'll go ahead and I'll negotiate with you, God. I'll give you this, but you can't have that. And the truth of the matter is, he wants it all. And when we say no to God, that is when troubles start coming our way. That's when the moment we start saying no to God, that's when we kind of get out of his presence, if you will. We got, you know, what about Jonah? You know, God went ahead and said go, and Jonah said no to go on down to Nineveh there. And Jonah went totally the other direction. And who did he leave? The presence of the Lord. And the truth of the matter is that Jonah just gone ahead and done right the first time. You know what? He wouldn't have gone through all the battles and he wouldn't have been thrown overboard. He wouldn't have been in the belly of a big fish, as you will. He wouldn't have had all that trouble. But the truth of the matter is he failed to let the good shepherd go ahead and lead him. And he failed to go ahead and follow the will of God for his life. Think of Eve. Eve got distracted. There they were in the perfect Garden of Eden. That, by the way, was God's will for their life. Of course, the big master distractor came in, distracted her, made her look at the fruit that she was not to go ahead and look at, made her look at the sin, if you will. Say, boy, that fruit's not so bad there, Eve. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. The fruit's not so bad, Eve. Hey, you know, get a little bit closer. And we know the story. Get a little bit closer. And then she went ahead and took it. She got distracted and she left the will of God. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know what? Let me just say this. If this was the end of my sermon, some of you say, man, we're landing already? No, but if this was the end of my sermon, get this morning. Let the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lead you today. Let him. Now, I'm speaking to three types of people today. Number one, maybe here you're lost. You don't know Jesus as Savior. You don't know what it's like really to be in the fold, which is where we are today. We're in the fold. We are in the church. We are there. And by the way, there's safety here. But you don't know what it's like to be saved. You don't know. Maybe here today, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know if my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know if Jesus went ahead and came back today. God said, Hey, Jesus, it's time. The mansions are built. Heaven's all prepared. I don't know that if I'd attain my mansion. I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven today. You know what? There may be that crowd this morning. There may be one. There may be a couple. There may be somebody. You've heard the gospel 100 different times. You've sat right there. Maybe 100 different times. You've heard it all. But I wonder if there's someone here today that does not know 100% if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. There's another type of person here today. You've lost your way. Oh, you've been saved. You can take me, you can take anybody to a place where someone showed you from the Word of God how you could be saved. And once you got saved, boy, you were excited. You were thrilled about the joy of the Lord. You were thrilled to go ahead and say, hey, preacher, what can I do in the church? You were growing in grace. You were found yourself in a Sunday school class, listening to a Sunday school teacher. You found yourself on a daily basis reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and you were growing. You got excited. You were thrilled about the things of God. As you grew a little while, you went to the preacher and said, hey, preacher, what can I do? Could I clean the church? Could I teach a class? Could I drive a bus? Could I work on a bus route? Hey, could I go ahead and do this? You were excited, but somewhere along the way, you've lost your way. Somewhere along the way, maybe the preacher got up and preached something that you didn't like, and the truth of the matter is, it's not the preacher that wrote out the list. God knows right where you are, but maybe he said something behind the pulpit. Maybe he didn't treat you right. Maybe someone in the church didn't treat you right, but because of something, you go back to a time, you start getting bitter, you start getting critical, if you will, and as a result, you've lost your way. You said, God, I'm not going to follow you anymore. He's not the shepherd of your life. You're not following everywhere he wants you to go, and as a result, you're out of his will today. You're just on the verge of saying, I'm done. I'm through. You know what? The preacher preached that. He knew that was happening. No, Holy Spirit knew what was going on in your life, by the way. Maybe he didn't treat you right. Maybe the deacon didn't treat you right. Maybe the Sunday school teacher didn't treat you right. Maybe someone forgot to shake your hand. Maybe something, I don't know. Maybe something outside of the church, something that you thought just wasn't fair. You grew. You were excited about the things of God at one time. You were excited about reading the Word of God. You were excited about your ministry. You were excited about soul winning. But somewhere along the way, you've lost your way. I don't know where you lost it. I don't know who it is you're mad at. I don't know who went ahead and maybe said something to you. I don't know exactly what, but you know, and as a result, you are ready. I'm done. You've lost your way. There's another group here this morning. I want you to be mindful of these three groups. You're in the fold. You are there. Despite anything, despite maybe a word, an unkind word that may have been said by another Christian, and I'm not condoning that. Don't misunderstand me. We ought to be kind one to another. And the truth, let me just stop and say this. You know, maybe another Christian does say something unkind to you. And I'm not saying that's right. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, the Bible says, you know what? Instead of you going ahead and start retaliating, why don't you fulfill the second part of Ephesians 4:32? Now, the Bible says to be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. That's almost where we want to stop, though, don't we? Forgiving. You know, instead of you going ahead and saying, well, you know what, so-and-so said, and they shouldn't have said it. They've got a position in the church. They shouldn't have said that. Listen, let me just say this. Maybe they were going through something. You know, we go ahead and automatically, someone may go ahead and say something and do something and so forth, and automatically, we know they shouldn't have said it, and they shouldn't have probably said it, but we write them off. Did you ever consider the fact that maybe they were just got a phone call and some death and that something tragic happened in their life? And they knew they shouldn't have said it. But how about you taking the high road? Say, no matter what, I'm going to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake. You see, there's maybe someone here today, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Boy, you ought to get saved. Maybe you're that person that you've lost your way. I mean, you just can't see, you know, you're frustrated, you're mad, you're critical, maybe you're bitter, you're just about saying, I'm just about through with this, Pastor. But maybe here today, despite or in spite of what maybe somebody said, you're right on target. You're in the fold. You know what it's like to be in the fold. You know the security of being in church. You got your friends here. Maybe someone maybe said an unkind word. Maybe someone failed to shake your hand, but you said, no matter what, I'm going to be in my place. You get up. You're excited about reading your Bible. You're excited about praying. You're excited about getting ready and getting your Sunday school class all prepared. You're excited about driving that bus. You're excited about knocking on doors on Saturday. You're excited about being a bus worker. You're excited about that nursery. And no matter what, maybe the preacher gets up and he preaches something hard, and you're there, say, wow, that was very, very tough. But you just go ahead and you keep on going, and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Maybe the preacher didn't do quite right, and you say, well, I love my preacher, I'm going to be with the program. Maybe someone went ahead and treated you wrong, and maybe said an unkind word to you, but I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to stay in with the program. I'm going to stay serving God. I know I need to be where God wants me to be. I'm going to stay in church. You're there. You're happy this morning as a result. Yes, maybe you've had some trials, and you've had some heartaches, and you've had some valleys, and so forth, and so on. But the truth of the matter is, you are here. You know where you want, where God wants you, and you're not wandering around this morning. You're not losing your way. You know where God wants you to be. You're planted. Your feet is planted. And no matter when the winds blow, you're deeply rooted in saying, God, I'm going to go ahead and hang on to the Word of God, the King James Bible. I'm going to go ahead and continue to sing your songs. I'm going to go ahead and get strength from you. I'm going to go ahead and sit there in the church. I'm going to absorb the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to go ahead and absorb the teaching of the Word of God in Sunday school class. I'm going to go ahead, God, continue to follow you. Because God, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm going to follow. In Luke chapter 15, I'm going to read a passage here. Luke chapter 15, the Bible says, verse number 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Here's a shepherd had 100 sheep. 99, you know, did not go ahead and leave him. 99 was there, but he was concerned about that one lost sheep. By the way, that's what a shepherd does. The shepherd's, you know, the 99 were just. They stayed in their place. They stayed in the fold. But there is one that wandered away. And that shepherd did everything the Bible teaches here. He did everything he could to go ahead and find it. And he did everything he could to go ahead, and I could see him going through the wilderness and maybe calling that lost sheep and hopefully to hear a little bit of a rustling. And he went ahead and he found it. And the Bible teaches that he was rejoicing. You know, he was a shepherd. He was concerned for that one. He was concerned for that one. He wasn't going to go ahead and quit until he found that one. He rejoiced over that one that was found. A good shepherd's job is not just for the well-being of the flock and to provide safety, but his job is to lead them in the way that they should go. He was concerned about that one. He wanted not just 99. Yes, he had the majority, but he wanted to get all of them together. He wanted protection. He wanted to go ahead and lead them in the way they should go, because he understands sheep aren't very smart. They aren't. And you know the Bible likens us to sheep? That's pretty tough, I know. But the Bible does liken us to a sheep. The Bible says right here, the Bible says that we are likened to sheep in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I thank God for that verse right there. all weak like sheep have gone astray. He hath turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him. You know what? We're like sheep. We've gone astray. We've wandered, if you will. You take the lost sheep. I'm talking about that first category. I talk about the one that's lost, doesn't know for sure that if they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. Let me tell you something. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him. Hey, if you're here this morning, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Hey, guess what? The Lord laid on him. The Lord laid on him. The Lord laid on him your iniquity. He went ahead and he died on that cross. He shed every drop of his blood, and he paid for your sin. And you don't have to be lost this morning. You don't have to sit there and say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. No, the Bible says you can know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, but you've got to go ahead and trust him as Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, you know what? We are likened to sheep. We have a tendency, if you will, kind of like category number two. We kind of lose our own way at times. No, you're saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. But maybe you listened to a little criticism. Maybe someone didn't treat you right, as I mentioned a moment ago. Maybe you didn't like how the Lord was dealing with you. Maybe through preaching or something else. And you're just about ready to go ahead and quit on God and so forth. And because we're sheep and we're likened to sheep, sometimes we're not very smart. We have a tendency to go our own way. We have a tendency to go ahead and resist God and what he wants to do. We want to do our own thing. We have a tendency to wander off. We have a tendency to go our own way. We rebel against God's authority. And when we don't like something, we go against it. When the word of God is open and preached, sometimes it's not very comfortable. Amen? You know, you go ahead and you read your Bible 7 days this next week. You know, and you ask God, God, you'd move in my heart. If you ask him, he'll do it. I guarantee you, he'll reveal some things in your own private time. Oh, that's a rough one. Oh, that's a rough passage. No, we don't like to hear about hell, do we? But it's in the Bible. The Bible teaches, God's very clear about it, that one that dies without Jesus Christ, hell is their eternal destiny. We don't like that. But boy, will you go ahead and you read it and you hear about what hell is, a place of fire. Boy, that's tough. And you hear about, and you go ahead and you read on some of the stories once you get saved, and boy, when you get excited and you get served God and so forth, but you go ahead and you read on and you read some of the stories of people. They were serving God at one time. They were excited about the things of God at one time, but somewhere along the way, like a Jonah, when God went ahead and revealed his will to him, no! We start wandering away. Start doing our own thing. We start kind of going our own way, saying, I'll figure out this life myself, and we go ahead and exclude God. Oh, you're saved. If you came to an altar, you realize you're a sinner, you realize there's a price on sin, and you ask Christ into your heart, nobody, praise the Lord, nobody can ever take that away. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, but we can be backslidden. We can lose our way. We can all of a sudden lose our way from that church pew that you once warmed every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday school class. We can lose our way from that Bible, that closet, that prayer closet where it was just you and God. You shut down every cell phone, you shut down the television, you shut down everything, and you can soon lose your way as a result of not following the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Good Shepherd, if you will, and so forth. And you lose your way from that Bible, that prayer closet, if you will, where it was precious time between you and God, and it was Bible time between you and God, and he was doing some mighty things in your life, and he was causing you to grow. You got on your face and you are praying, God, forgive me of my sin. God, bless my family. Bless our church. Bless the ministry. God, be with my job. Take care of my family. You had that precious time, but you've lost your way this morning. You've lost your way from your Bible reading. You've lost your way from that Sunday school class. You've lost your way from that ministry. You've lost your way from doing the right thing. And as a result, you've kind of lost your way. You've lost your way. You've gotten indifferent. You've gotten critical. You've gotten bitter at people that treated you wrongly and so forth. You don't have a forgiving spirit. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you lost your way this morning? Do you know that the safest place to be is following the Good Shepherd? I love that chorus we sing all the time with the kids. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You know what? That's the third one. You know what? Despite the ups and downs, despite maybe a little criticism,
Despite a little criticism on the job because you choose to live right and clean, you don't want to hang around the dirty jokes, and you don't want to hang around the booze crowd and so forth, and you stand strong, and people may, ha, 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 you Bible thumper, thank you for that comment. That's a compliment. Now, often, when I was working in the world and punching, you know, I was made fun of. My short haircut. You know, I'd read my Bible on break. Shh, the preacher man's coming. Thank you, guys, very much. I appreciate it. The Jesus man, the Jesus freak's coming. Thank you very much. I just took it as a compliment. But the truth of the matter is, I don't want to lose my way. I don't want you to lose your way. Maybe here today and you've kind of lost your way. You're kind of into your doing your own thing. Or maybe here today you're in the fold. You know what it's like to be saved this morning. You're excited. You're excited after a little while. You're going to see a little girl get baptized because she came to VBS and got saved. And in your heart, boy, you're just excited. You're excited about the fact that little boys and girls came in off from a bus this morning. You're excited. You're excited about the Sunday school class that you got to teach. Or you're excited about the Sunday school class that you got to participate in and hear the man of God, hear a godly teacher teach you. You're excited about the preaching of the Word of God. You've been praying for your preacher this week. And you've been praying for the church this week. And you've been praying for the ministry this week. You couldn't wait to go ahead and get to church and hear about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hey, you're excited this morning. Why? Because you're in the fold. And yes, you have valleys. And yes, you have trials. And yes, you have struggles. And yes, maybe someone mocks you. And yes, maybe even someone in the church says something not quite right to you. Maybe something happened. But the truth of the matter is, you stand strong. You are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the happiest place to be, my friends. But we have a tendency to backslide, to do our own thing. The flesh will often get in the way and cause you to get distracted and cause you to have an unclear vision of the right things, and we lose our sight, and we lose our sight of the shepherd, the good shepherd. Hey, let me ask you a question this morning. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Hey, maybe you're here today, you don't, you're empty inside. You don't know for sure if you'd die today, you'd go to heaven. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Hey, maybe you're here today, you know you're saved. As a matter of fact, you've followed clearly the Lord's will and the Lord's direction. He's been your shepherd for many years. But, you fill in the next blanks. Something happened. Something happened that caused you to get critical. Something happened that caused you to get bitter. Something, only you know. I don't know what it is, but you and God do. You haven't showed up to your Bible reading in a long time. You haven't showed up to church maybe in a long time. You haven't maybe been as faithful as you have been in a long time. Your heart's not in that ministry like it once was. I don't know what it is. But let me ask you a question. Can you read Psalm 23:1 with a whole heart and say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? The Lord is my shepherd. You see, a shepherd's a leader. A shepherd is a protector, as we'll see in just a moment. You know, I remember, and I've used this illustration before, but I've got, this one's just very key, of a young lady that lost her way. Doing great in the youth group. She was from a broken home. She had some tough times. But she knew that whenever she had a tough time, she could go to her youth pastor's office, and once to twice a week, she'd go ahead and meet with me. We'd go ahead and talk. She'd cry and she'd weep, and I'd pray with her, and I'd give her some counsel and advice about different things and so forth. And, you know, as time went by, you know, she was faithful to teen sewing, and she was faithful Sunday night to youth group at 6 o'clock, and she was faithful to teen activities. She'd go to youth conference. As a matter of fact, she submitted to full-time Christian service at youth conference. She was excited about the things of God. But somewhere along the way, she picked up a friend even in the church, that was a little critical about the program and the preacher and all this. And and I pulled her aside and said, "You don't want to get too close there. And don't misunderstand me. I am for everybody. But, you know, don't. You've got to be very careful who you hang with. This can be a bad crowd outside. There can be sometimes a bad crowd, sad to say, inside." I talked to her a little while and said, okay. But she kept rubbing shoulders with this friend, kind of texting and talking back and forth, and when nobody's around, and just kind of getting critical. Before you knew it, she picked up a boyfriend that was outside of the church. She went ahead and she was immoral, became pregnant. Before all this, because of that friend, she was missing church. She was missing things that she had never missed before. As a result of her crowd, she got indifferent. I could see the indifference right away. She picked up the wrong music right away. The indifference, she stopped coming to my office. I'd have to pull her in. But she got around the wrong crowd, picked up the wrong guy, and became pregnant. Tried to get her back in church, try to restore her. But she just was too embarrassed. By the way, that's what sin will do. That's what sin will do. Well, let me tell you something. This pure young lady, she had a great heart for God, and I know she did. I saw her tears many a time. But let me tell you something. Boy, you know, the devil got the last laugh with her. I saw her later on, a few years down the road. Ran into her. She moved north, but she happened to be down visiting her dad. Saw her in a store. Hey, how's everything going? And you could just see what sin did to her. Boy, sin always leaves a mark. She wasn't very old, by the way. 20, maybe 20 years old now. She knew my heart. She started crying. She started weeping. She says, Brother Sean, as all my teenagers call me, Brother Sean. She says, I know that you loved me. I know that you counseled me to do right and to live for God and to go off and do something great for God. I know that's what you did. I know them teenagers that you pastor, youth pastor, them teenagers that you're over there at the church, you love them. I know you do, preacher. And I don't feel like I can come back to church. And I told her of a good church up in her area and she just wouldn't go. And, you know, she was embarrassed. But as I was walking across the parking lot after we'd said goodbye, I says, Preacher, tell them teenagers whom you love, they don't want this. They don't want this. I know of another young man called to preach. He knows he was called. He's called to camp. Came to me and tears in his eyes. He was called to one of the camps I conducted in Maine. Called to preach, Pat. Boy, what a joy it was and a wonderful moment. Went to youth conferences, did everything the previous young lady did, just in their place. A good church family, went to church. Today, he's wandered far away from God. See him, he's miserable. Oh, he may think he's having fun, and sin is only fun for a little while, by the way. The only joy in sin for just a little while. Just let me just go ahead and say that. It doesn't matter who we are today. You may go ahead and you may be a little indifferent. You may be in that second category. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But you found some sin. You're playing around with it. Let me just say this. Your sin will only be fun just for a little while. You may think you've got it hidden on your wife. You may think you got it hidden on your husband. You may think you got it hidden on everybody else. You may have the preacher fool, but let me tell you something. God knows what you're playing with and what you're dealing with right now. He knows the sin that you're playing with. He knows it's going to be like a cancer, it's a besetting sin. And before you know it, you've wandered far away from God. You backslid. You hardly darken the door of the church, and you know what it is. I don't know what it is, and don't you think, well, preacher, you're preaching right at me. You're writing down all the notes. I have no clue what's going on in your heart, but God does. God knows. Let me ask you a question. Which category are you in this morning? Which category are you in this morning? Have you left the fold? The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Could there be someone here this morning? You're broken and you're hurting. You're at a place where you're not sure what to do, where to go. I plead with you, follow the shepherd. Maybe here today, you're on the brink of changing course. You're that indifferent one, if you will. You've heard it all. The preacher preaches to do right. You know what the Bible says. You feel that you've heard it all, but something's distracted you, and you're just about on that verge, as I've been preaching about for a little while this morning, and you're just about ready to quit on God. You're about ready to quit on your church. You're about ready to quit on your godly friends. You're about ready to quit on your family. You're about ready to quit on the ministry that God had given you, whatever it may be. May I plead with you, follow the shepherd. Can you say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Could there be someone, you're on the brink there this morning. Could there be a church member here, you feel like all is falling about you, you're tired of the world laughing at you for your stand, you're being criticized for your walk. May I remind you that in Luke chapter 21 verse 17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Also in John 15, 18, we read, if the world hate you, ye know that they hated me before you. Maybe you're here today. Church member, you're tired of serving God. You're tired of listening. You've heard it all and you're frustrated and someone hurt you maybe with some verbal abuse. Maybe someone treated you wrongly. I don't know what the case is, but why don't you go ahead and forgive them? Why don't you go ahead and get on your knees and ask God for some strength and for some grace this morning and say, I'm going to keep on following the shepherd. Hey, is the Lord your shepherd this morning? You're tired of the service? You're ready to leave the will of God. You are excited about your salvation. Why don't you get excited again? Boy, you know what? Ought to excite you. Maybe you're here. You're at the very bottom this morning. But you know what? Ought to just give you even, should give you a lot of excitement. Go back to that day. Go back to that day. Maybe it was at an altar of a church, a revival meeting, at your door. Go back to that day. And remember the day that God reached his hand way down to you and he saved you. And he given you a home, an eternal home in heaven because you got saved. Hey, you want some excitement? You want joy today? Go back to that day. Hey, maybe you've wandered far away from home today. Why don't you come back home today? Why don't you go ahead and follow the shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Come home, ye who are weary, come home softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. You know what? Maybe there's so much distraction in your life. Maybe there's some sin in your life this morning and it's distracting you. Maybe the cell phones, you got so much noise, so to speak, going on in your life. Why don't you shut everything down? And I wonder today, no matter where you are this morning, listen to me. No matter where you are, no matter what position this morning, you may be lost, maybe dying on your way to hell. The Bible says you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And the Holy Spirit says, come on, lost sheep. Come on. I can save you through my blood. Hey, come on. Maybe you're here today, you've wandered, you know you're saved, but you've come indifferent, you've lost your way. Hey, shut everything down. And the shepherd said, come on home. Ye who are weary, come home, softly and tenderly. And maybe here today, you're in your place, you stay in your place. You keep on following the shepherd, you keep on pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You want to plant yourself on higher ground today, you got to follow the good shepherd. Amen. Give you a few thoughts and then I'm through. Number one, the shepherd is one who's going to provide your needs. Bible says, verse number one, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what? You follow the good shepherd today, he's going to provide for you. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter how low you may be. You say, well, preacher, my cupboards are pretty bare. Trust him. Trust him this morning. Oh, preacher, I got 4 bald tires on my car. Trust him. Oh, preacher, I only have a little gas in my... Trust him this morning. You know what? The Lord is my shepherd. That's a promise. I shall not want. You know what? You might be outside the will of God. You know what? He'll provide for your needs. Why don't you come home today? Why don't you make him first place in your life again? And have the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Allow him to lead you today. The Lord will, the shepherd, if you will, is one who will provide your needs. He'll provide protection and security. Then number two, the shepherd will restore you when broken. Bible says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Let me ask you a question. You're broken this morning, church, remember? Things haven't quite gone your way. Maybe you're a little bit discouraged. And you're here and you say, preacher, I am one of them that I'm in my place. But you're hurting, aren't you? You're hurting. You just need something. You know, listen, take this verse. He restoreth my soul. You know what Jesus will do, can do, if you're broken this morning? Maybe you feel like you're a little broken, but he'll go ahead and pick that clay up. He'll put it back together. He'll put it back together. He'll make you and mold you to be what he wants you to be. Hey, listen, number two, quickly, he restoreth my soul. Maybe sin abounded and took over your life, but the shepherd will restore your life and make it usable again. Let me just stop and say this. Maybe you have gone deep into sin. You know what the devil loves to say? You can't be used now. Yeah, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven, but don't bother getting involved. You know, he'll tell you, you can't be used. Let me tell you something. That's a lie from the devil himself. Doesn't matter who you are. Maybe you can't preach, be a pastor. Maybe you can't go ahead. Maybe the sin may have forfeited you from being something that maybe he wanted you to be at one time. But let me tell you something. If you're saved this morning, he restored your soul. You can be busy doing something for him today. You can teach a Sunday school class. You can go ahead and knock on a door and go soul winning and pass out a tract. You can go ahead and be a bus worker. You can drive a bus. You could sign up for a month of cleaning. Hey, you know what? There's something that you can do. Don't you let the devil go ahead and say, well, you know, you went ahead and blew it. You can't pass. You can't do that. Okay, maybe you can't do some things. But let me tell you something. God can use you to do something. There's something that he's got your name on, and he wants you to get in line. He wants you to say, okay, God, I'll go ahead and do it. Hey, is that you this morning? Hey, he restoreth your soul. He'll make you usable again. The shepherd is there. I love this. Both in the valley and the mountaintop. You see here in the scripture, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what? Maybe death has come your way through a family member. Maybe there's some unexpected bill that we do not like that came in the mail. Where in the world did this come from? Amen? We've been there. IRS? Whatever. Maybe it's some illness. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but you do. You know what? Maybe, listen. You know, the shepherd is one that never leaves you or forsakes you. You know what? You may be a vast part of the crowd today that's on the top side. You're on the mountaintop. You know what? He's with you this morning. But you know what? Maybe you're some of you. You're down there in the valley. The tunnel's dark. You don't feel like I can't see anything. But you can know this morning the shepherd is with you. Maybe it's you don't hear him in that valley because maybe there's things in your life that you need to deal with. But all along, he's got that still, small voice saying, come here. You're going through the tunnel. I can't see. I can't. Come here. Follow me. Come here. Follow my voice. Come here. This is not a sheep illustration, but I grew up on a dairy farm. Had a lot of time to reminisce this week, walking around the farm a little bit and walking through the barn and different things like that. Remember going back, you know, and when it was milking time. Of course, this has to do with cattle, but I'm going to try to fit it in here. We'd milk about 50 cattle, and they'd be out pasturing, out in the pasture and so forth. I'd go out. We had a long barn. I'd go out at the end of the barn, and then we had what we called a barn cleaner. In other words, the manure cleaner, okay? It was a gutter. We had gutters, and it was a big chain that went around and just scooped all that stuff out at the very end. So there was a ramp there, okay? There was a ramp there, and it went out to this big pad there, cement pad and so forth, and you get the picture, right? If I go out there, I'd go out at the end of the ramp, and I'd go, here, bus, 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 bus! You know what amazes me? That one cow of 50 heard that call. It was milking time. They'd stop what they're doing. That one cow would start, and then the rest would follow. Boy, it made my job real nice. Once in a great while, you'd have a wanderer. That's not part of me. Once in a great while, then we'd have to go on the back 40 and get that cow, rebellious cow. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. Let's go ahead and put the analogy to where it fits right here. You can't see your way. It's dark. But you know what? You have a shepherd saying, come on, little lamb. Come on, little lamb. Come on, little lamb. And you know what? That little lamb will stop whatever it's doing. Putting down the besetting sin. put in away things that maybe ought not be. Understanding their safety with the shepherd. That little lamb, if you will, gets right with God and now can go ahead and sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You know what? He's there on the mountaintop. Boy, I thank God for that. We'd love to always dwell here, wouldn't we? But guess what? He's there in the valley as well. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter who you are this morning, no matter what position you are in, you can guarantee that he's there. He's there. And the shepherd is one who will provide for you more than you've ever dreamed. I love this. In verse number 5, it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's a verse of blessing. I was going to bring an illustration up, but I didn't. And I'm not going to make a mess here. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? You're here this morning. You're saved. Guess what? Your cup's running over. You're here this morning, you're saved, and as a result of being saved, you have a mansion in heaven. Guess what? Your cup runneth over. You're here this morning, and guess what? We have the Word of God. Guess what? Our cup runneth over. You're here this morning, you have a Bible-believing, independent Baptist church centered right here in Carver, Massachusetts. Guess what? Your cup runneth over. You're here this morning, because I've always had one. You have a preacher that loves you. Your cup runneth over. You know, when I was a teenager, you know, I watched pastors through the years, even when I was going through some rebellious years, but I remember a pastor still doing a great job for God today. Never wavered from this book, just steady. I was going through my rebellious years. He was, you know, while other Christians would go ahead and say, there's no use. He's not going to, you know. This pastor saw it. And you know how often, and I recall this often, he'd go ahead and come up to the fire and say, hey, Sean, let's go for an ice cream. Yeah, I had a rebellious heart at that time, and you know, let me just go ahead and say this. I'm glad that I was not so rebellious that, I'm not going to go with you. But I remember I had a pastor. I remember I had a pastor when I was in my rebellious years. I would say, let's go for an ice cream. I remember sitting down talking to him. And by the way, he wouldn't point his finger, you know, he wouldn't do that. He would just talk to me basically where I am, where I was. He loved me. You know what? All through the years, and I say that, I thank God. You know what? I always had a pastor, and I say, my cup runneth over. And I don't say that to be boastful this morning, but let me just say this. I love you, church, and I hope you understand your cup runneth over because you got a pastor. I thank God for my pastors. By following him and letting him lead you and guide you, he's a friend. You know, Jesus is a friend. He's that shepherd friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what? Your cup runneth over. He gave us an everlasting book. Your cup runneth over. He's given you your family. Boy, your cup runneth over. Boy, there's so many things that he's given you. You know what? We are truly blessed this morning. Yeah, I know we're in the valley, and maybe you're in the valley. You say, I just don't see it. But open your eyes a little bit. Listen to the Good Shepherd and think about everything he's done for salvation. Yeah, I may be in the valley, but you know what? One day I'm going to have a mansion. Think about where you'd be had someone not showed you from the Bible how to be saved. Think about the book that he's given you. Think about the blessings. Boy, your cup surely runneth over. I don't know about you, but where are you today? Where are you today? Maybe here today you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I want to know him. I want to know for sure that I have a home in heaven. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. My friend, listen to this morning. You don't have to be wandering around. You don't have to be a lost sheep sitting there. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know. No, the Bible says you can know it. You got to understand you're a sinner.
For all have sinned, the Bible says, come short of the glory of God. Understand there's a price on sin, for the wages of sin is death. And that word death there in the Bible in Romans 6:23 is talking about a place called hell. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. But number three, Jesus paid for your price. Jesus went through the scourging. He went through the mockery. He went through the crown of thorns. You know the story. And he hung on that cross. He said, it is finished. And he died on that cross for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, listen, my friend, you may be here today. You're in that first category. You're lost. You don't know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Why don't you make today that day? God so loved you, he gave his only Son for you. And why don't you leave? Before you leave these doors, you know that you have eternal life in heaven. Maybe you're here today, category number two. You're wondering, aren't you? You know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. As a matter of fact, there was a time in your life you were thrilled about your salvation. The time in your life that you were excited about that ministry, excited about the preaching, excited about life. But today, a little criticism harbored in your heart, a little bitterness, I don't know what it is. But as a result, you've kind of lost your way. Boy, if you're a child of God and you're like that today, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be kind of guessing your way. No. You can go ahead and get your feet on solid ground again. By the way, I've been there. I've been there as a Christian, kind of doing my own thing, leaving the fold, so to speak. Let me tell you something. Even though for a little while I thought I was happy, truth of the matter is, in my heart of hearts, I was miserable. But let me tell you something. If that's you today, you don't have to be there. But let me just say this. When I finally got right with God, boy, let me tell you something. Today, I'm in category three. I am where God wants me to be. Yeah, maybe criticism may come my way. Yeah, maybe trials and cancer and heartaches and who knows what may go ahead and come my way. But you know what? I'm going to stay right where God wants me. I'm going to follow the Good Shepherd. The Lord, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. And you know what? Because of that, and I'm not boasting today. And those of you, if you were here, you'd be able to say the same thing I'm saying right now. Because the Lord is my shepherd, because I'm in category number three, you know what? I am the happiest person in this church. A lot of you can say that too. Because you're here. You're in your place. No matter what, you're in your place. You're absorbing the things of God. You're excited about serving God. Yes, trials have come. Yes, heartache has come. Yes, criticism has come. But you know what? You're staunch. You're immovable. You're steadfast. You're right in your place. And you're not wavering. You're always abounding in the work of God, irregardless. Well, that's a happy place to be. Where are you this morning? Could it be, doesn't matter who you are this morning, that Jesus is singing to you, so to speak, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Is he calling for you this morning? Lost soul here today, is he, Holy, something in your heart going on? Is it the Holy Spirit kind of saying, why don't you get saved today? You're here today in your category number two, you just kind of, is he saying, come on, come home, come home, come home, come home. And if you're home today, you keep on following. The happiest place that you'll be, you just keep on every day, getting up, getting dressed, get your Bible out, read it, pray, serve God, raise your family, do what God wants you to do, and that's a happy place to be. Our Heavenly Father, sure do love you, and I thank you for your word. Boy, how it speaks to me. God has been precious to me these last... It's always been precious, but boy, you just have really used this passage in my life recently. Thank you, God, that you're the supplier of all my needs. I thank you, God, you're the restorer of my soul. I thank you, God, that whether I'm on a mountaintop or a valley, you are always there. I thank you, God, for being my shepherd. Thank you, God, for loving me so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that I could know that I have eternal life. I thank you for my salvation. I pray, dear God, that you'd have your will and way this morning. I pray, dear God, that if there's a lost soul here today, that Holy Spirit, you'll work on their heart, and they'll not leave Faith Baptist Church without knowing Jesus as their Savior. I pray that if they're like that today, that they'd come forward, shake my hand, say, "Preacher, I want to be saved," and have someone show them from the Word of God how they can be saved. Maybe there's someone that kind of lost their way. Yeah, they're saved, they're on their way to heaven, but they're just indifferent. Indifferent towards you, your work, the church, whatever. They're just indifferent, a cold heart. I pray, dear God, that you convict their in their heart. I pray, dear God, that they'll get back to following the Good Shepherd. And Lord, I want to encourage the perhaps vast amount here, the majority. They're in their place. Yeah, tough winds have blown their way. They've been resisted against. Some trials have come. No matter what, though, however, they remain faithful. And God, I pray you continue to encourage them. Encourage them in the days ahead. As we know that there will be some trials, there will be struggles. That's just part of life and part of Christian growth. But I pray no matter what comes their way, they'll always stand strong. They'll be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of God. Pray, God, that you'd bless. Our heads are bowed.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this message. Just thank you for church and for your word, Lord. Thank you for being our shepherd. Help us to always keep our eye on you. And as we go through this week, Lord, please bring us back safe. And Lord, I just thank you for today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.